thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
But we do.
Here's John Williams.
And I'm not alone in that, by the way. Congratulations to all of us who think big thoughts Monday through Friday, Saturdays, Sundays. Plus, we go to parades.
Oh,
we'll talk about that one in just a second. This is John in the Allstate Skyline Studio until 3. Remember, if you're listening to us and driving, you can't be texting. We'll talk about the texting and driving laws in Illinois, how they've changed today, July 1st, and also a sting operation the cops are using to catch you. So it's not just squad cars that might pull you over. Lots of ground to cover on the show today. I just wanted to do a kind of a quick recap of the Pride Parade over the weekend because it was so much fun until it started to rain. And actually, it was fun for me because I live close enough to the parade route that when it started to rain, we just sort of trotted back to our place. But for some of you, maybe it wasn't. Two people on our staff who were in the parade, and Sarah Tiemann joins us in studio, and Jazz Cooper, who is the producer. Jazzy is, of course, for Bill and Wendy, and Sarah's on our what team?
Marketing
team. So you kind of organized our float, and then Jazz, you were there not with the station float, but with your own cheer team, right?
Yes, the Chicago Spirit Brigade.
And you guys just do events, and you cheer and go crazy.
Yes, so we raise money. We raise 100% of the proceeds that we get. We donate to an organization. So this week we did Affinity Community Services, which is an organization that works with Black LGBT communities. They create safe spaces for them and things like that, so...
They say there was a million people, and I believe it, because the weather was really so good for almost all of the parade until that front rolled through. But at the Pride Parade this year, ladies, one thing that impressed me was how many youth groups there were. I mean, schools and children with parents and sometimes just groups of kids who are, you know, gay or LGBTQ friendly, or their families, or schools that were just embracing all of the gender fluidity that we have these days. And I just don't remember that so much in years past. There were presidential candidate teams. Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg had teams there marching. They weren't there. Lori Lightfoot was the rock star of this thing.
Yep, we saw her drive by.
Well, that's interesting because there's two ways to do it. One is to be in the parade and then you see all of the craziness for 4 miles, or you stand in one spot like I did and then you watch the float go by, but you don't see all of the people. And both are pretty entertaining to see, right?
I think it's fun to be in the parade, but like you said, to me, the only people I saw are those who, like, on our strip and our staging zone of, you know, who was getting ready.
Right.
So I, you know, to me, whoever else was in the parade was kind of a blur. We saw, you know, Mayor Lightfoot come like right past our float as she was coming to the front, you know, to kick everything off. But everything else was kind of a blur.
What stood out to you?
Like you said, the millions of people. So I remember I was just talking about this with a friend of mine. I took the Metro home from the Millennial Station and the Metro was packed. I was like, I've never seen this many young people. Like
On a Sunday.
But so I've never seen this many people come to the Pride Parade. I remember 10 years ago when I was in high school, we knew about it, but it wasn't like a thing to where it'd be like, come to the Pride Parade to show support. It was more like a, you're too young for that situation.
Oh, I know. There was no age barrier or boundary at all. In fact, I thought about a guy who had his maybe 8-year-old daughter in tow, and I thought, she's going to say, Dad, what are we doing? And he's going to tell her why we're here. And then he's going to have a conversation with that little girl that my parents never had with me.
You know, right.
That I still haven't had with my parents. I mean, it was just a topic that was never broached. And now times have changed.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, wow, these kids, they're like 17, 18.
You know, if we had voted for Tony Preckwinkle for mayor, she would have been easier to see in the parade. And Preckwinkle was in the parade. But Lightfoot goes by and I said, Brenda, you know, we had some friends in from out of town and they were very interested in seeing this celebrity mayor of ours. I said, there she is. And they go, where? You can't see her. She's just so small. I said, she's got a hat on and she's over there. Okay. And then they got pictures and they were so excited to see Lori Lightfoot come by.
You know what? That's funny because the day before she came to Proud to Run, which is the 5K, 10K that Pride does before. So she was there and she gave an amazing speech. And so afterwards, I was like, I got to go meet the mayor.
Yeah.
So I just Randall Boss, excuse me, can I take a picture with you? She's like, yeah, that's fine. Oh, cheerleaders, fun. Let's do the whole picture.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really? Very
that's
nice. Cool. She was very nice.
That's nice to hear.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Tammy Duckworth was in there, two ladies, and you could tell when a U.S. senator or congressperson was going to come by because it'd be three big black, we're not having any fun here. You know, there were no balloons on these things, SUVs or you know, town cars, big black cars. So when Tammy Duckworth came by, and the audience was very happy to see her, and she was riding around on a motorized wheelchair, and people, and she was with her daughter, and people were really giving her a lot of props. Kim Fox was in the parade. I'm like, wow, props to you, lady, because if I was Kim Fox, I don't think I want to walk around a million Chicagoans going, hey, how's it going?
Right.
And she was running up and shaking people's hands.
Yeah. I'm mad I missed Tammy, though.
Yeah, Tammy had a nice crowd.
I missed presence. Everybody. To me, it seems like a very different parade this year.
Why is that?
I think because of the weather. And, you know, Jazzy's team was... We were talking about this earlier this morning. Like, Jazzy's team was only a couple... technically, a few numbers ahead of us, but somehow we were like miles apart.
Yeah. And
what was your unit number?
We were supposed to be 60. And
so WGN Radio was supposed to be the 60th unit in that parade. I got news for you, girlfriend.
I know. We were not 60.
No. You weren't even close.
But here's the thing. We almost finished the route, but I've talked to other friends with other companies who hadn't finished the route at all. They never started. So
yeah, the CBS radio people in town, They did like us. They had a big float. Everybody in there all jazzed about it.
Yep.
They never started.
Right. But I read a report that said...
That's how long that thing is.
I read a report that said that everybody except for 9 were able to complete the route. And even we didn't complete the route. We were close. And I was hoping that we would, you know, go to the end. So I'm trying to figure out where, like, by the time we... got down Belmont, there was like everyone was running for the hills.
I don't know if this parade needs to be shorter because it's just such a hoot, right? And I mean, like, it's so inclusive that when you start to eliminate people, it's like if ever there was a parade that needed to include anybody that wants to embrace the cause, this is it. But when a representative from the Water Reclamation District walked by with their team, I thought, okay. Hooray, water reclamation, woo! But I was not, you know, having as much fun with that group as some of the others, like the motorcycles or, you know, if I may, other groups that were in, the Chicago Gay Hockey Association.
Oh, yeah. They marched.
Didn't know we had one.
They marched with us the year that we had the Stanley Cup.
Mensa was there. Yeah, they were with the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Mensa was there. So it was a bunch of really... sedate looking, kind of very intelligent people. And they had colorful shirts on, and I guess these are really bright gay people or people that, you know, embrace the LGBTQ community. So everybody's in, but it was like they were almost too removed. It was just kind of funny because if you're going to do this parade, you need to do it loud and proud, right?
Yep, right.
Orlando Strong had a group in it, remembering the Pulse nightclub shooting that took 49 lives and injured 53 others.
I think they've been in the last couple years, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, why because not? Right after the shooting, they were in.
Puerto Rico, Brazil, United Kingdom, Canada general councils were there.
Wow.
The church group. I think, in fact, the largest contingent of any kind we saw go by was the Lutheran Church.
Oh, yeah. They were, I think, right behind, the United Church of Evanston was right behind us. Maybe that's a different church.
There was the FFC Fitness Group, you know, FFC. They have centers throughout Chicago. Worked the crowd really well. So they've got a big float. And then they've got this cowboy who was really well built and was wearing just the smallest golden gym shorts. And he had an all-American red, white, and blue flag cowboy hat on. So he was your nude rhinestone cowboy up there, and he was handsome. And he was riding a pedal bike on the, you know, one of those exercises.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just think about the physics and the muscularity of all of that.
Do you think he used tape?
Oh, my gosh. He was really drawing a crowd. But the guy that was working the mic as they went by said this. I thought this was just so interesting. A guy on the float would call out, hey, left side. So say the east side as they were going south. He'd say, hey, left side, if you believe you were born this way, scream. Mm. And everybody go, ah. They go, hey, right side, if you believe that you were born this way, scream. And then he'd say, hey, Chicago. Same
That's
thing.
Cool.
And everybody
That's
screams.
Cool.
And it just, you know, there's not a lot of room for thoughtful dialogue as
right.
you're going by in a parade.
Nope.
But I thought, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Right.
I wrote in my post afterwards, after I, you know, got home and was on the sofa. You know, my favorite thing about this event is you look at that crowd and you realize, you know, this is how the world could be if we all had a little bit more love. Like, you just, you feel that love. It felt a little different to me this time, I think, because of the elements, but it's still, you know, you're like,
yeah, you
wow.
You were a little ticked because of the elements.
And well, you know, it's just...
It wasn't all so organized, but...
Right.
It sounds so cliche, but don't you agree, Jazz? I mean, love is a wonderful commodity we need to share more.
I totally agree. This is one of our favorite parades to be in because we can literally interact with the crowd and shake their hands, everything. Like, they're like, Chicago Spirit Brigade. They literally are like screaming our names.
Yeah.
That you feel so famous.
Yeah, you
and
do.
You're like, oh my gosh, they know us. Like,
right.
They really know us. Like, they're like, I have my favorite dancer, my favorite cheerleader over here. She's amazing. She's been on for this year. So I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is amazing. And this is all together.
Is everybody on your cheer squad African-American?
No, we have so many different groups. We have Asians. We have some Native Americans, actually, on our team. And it's just so, like, amazing that we're all together in this one thing. You see different colors, different nationalities and things like that. We're coming together, and we're supporting this one cause.
Well, one thing that I thought was nice, too, was that when there were groups that were predominantly white or black, and then where I was standing, there'd be like, there was must have been a little family or a group of people, but they were all African-American. They were to my front left. And then there was a bunch of Hispanic ladies, and they were all there to my right. And so they're all pressing to the front. But what you just can't help notice, because you don't see it that often, is so a big white gay guy comes up, and he's high-fiving young black ladies and men, or the black men gay group comes up, and they're giving hugs to little old white ladies. And there's just like... no barrier at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how willing people are to share love, to embrace each other.
Right.
If we just said, that's what we're going to do today.
Yep.
And it can be done.
Even looking at the signs, you know, through the crowd that people make, you know, this one kid I saw said, a proud nephew of two gay aunts. Like,
right.
You just,
I saw that one.
You see those things and it's like, wow, gosh, that's cool.
Or I saw the one that said proud aunt. And I thought, so here's a lady who's, you know, niece or nephew is out there in the gay community. What's that been like for y'all?
Mm-hmm.
And there, and ladies walking around with the sign saying, I'm proud of it. And
and
some of the signs, it was weird. People really reacted to her.
Did you see the free hugs?
Oh, yeah.
Mom,
I love that.
I
saw her on the news later, too.
Yeah.
And she had a really cool story about, you know, how kind of her journey of acceptance with her son. And, you know, she was more of a religious lady. And, you know, kind of her evolution into founding that organization that marched.
I thought the parade this year had the right blend of drag and drama to, you know, just support and love. Like, you know, if it was if I see enough Lutherans, I go, okay, I need now show me some dancers.
Yeah.
And
right.
then pretty soon there'd come the Brazil contingent and they were working it, you know. So it was very entertaining that way. Just a couple of other observations about things and people I saw. And again, I think this is just a reminder of how times have changed and how quickly they have changed.
Mm.
Corporations, BP, Amoco, Schwab, all the banks in Chicago, McDonald's.
Yep. They had a fun float.
Yeah.
Theirs was cute. Yeah.
McDonald's one?
Yeah.
It was good.
Said like equality is for all fries or something like that. I thought that was cute.
When we saw it coming, everybody thought they were going to start throwing fries. And people were like, fries! And no fries were thrown. But I just think it's so think about a segment of society that isn't cheering them on or says, no, I don't want to cheer them on. I want to be in the parade with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's corporations, the FBI, the Chicago Police Department.
Wow.
The police department had one that we thought was going to break because it was so bouncing with the dancing and the music.
That's how ours was, too. I was like, oh, gosh, we can't lose an axle.
This will look really bad.
You don't want to be that person who ties up the route.
Well, we were lucky because we were partnered with Sidetrack. So Sidetrack had the whole,
they
with the rainbows,
have a big
everything
one.
Else. It was amazing. We also had some pretty hot guys, too.
That's Jess Cooper. She produces Bill and Wendy, and Sarah Tiemann is in our marketing department here at WGN. They were in the parade. It went right by me and my family and friends as we watched the parade. So then we saw this front coming through. Like, literally, we're going, holy cow. It's like, here comes a train.
Yeah.
And you know how the weather's rolled through hard lately, and I thought, this is going to be a disaster.
Yep.
This thing's going to hit, and we're going to have problems. Did you all sense that when you were in the parade?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw it, and we said, we're going to keep going. And we literally kept going. We made it to the end. So you were saying nine groups that we were part of the nine.
Yeah. Yep. We saw the front coming. Well, we all knew before we took off. I mean, I think I got about 20 AccuWeather pings, and one of the girls on our float, she got a note from ABC that said, you know, the parade is canceled, or like, take shelter.
The text went out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we never, other than that alert, it was never really communicated with us. So we just kind of went with the flow and kind of hoped to keep going. But yeah, we saw it coming through, and it was, I mean,
it could have been so much worse. Like, it rained, but people are like, oh, so what did you do? Like, hey, we're in the rain. Did you just kind of have fun with it? Because you stayed in it.
Yeah, we stayed in it. But before we took off, we actually talked about if anything went wrong as far
and
as...
And we did that, too.
Yeah, we gave, like, a buddy system.
Plan?
Yeah,
really?
We had a buddy system, everything
That's
already planned.
Scary.
Yeah,
and but just in case. You never know.
And since I was, you know, leading our team, I kind of gave a pep speech beforehand. Thanks for being here. And hey, look, like, you know, it looks like weather might not be our best friend today. So, you know, do you be safety first? And, you know, we have garbage bags on the float.
Oh, yeah, right.
First I was like, Marlene, why'd you give me all these garbage bags? But then I'm like, thank God for the garbage bags. No, none of our team ended up using them. But, you know, throughout the day as people left, I was, you know, checking in with people in the evening being like, are you okay? Did you get somewhere safe? So
friends of mine, then we retreated back to our house, and then they were going to go on to their place, and they don't live that far from us. They live close to downtown on the Gold Coast, so Wrigley Field of the Gold Coast. So she checks Uber. First of all, good luck getting a cell.
Forget it.
And it was like $36, which I thought it was actually going to be worse than that, but that's a lot more than it would normally be. But you just can't connect with public transportation unless you're riding, you know, the L, unless you're doing CTA.
Well, my husband John and I left from Wellington, which is where our float wound up, Wellington and close to the Inner Lakeshore Drive, and we ended up walking. We walked past Belmont, past the train. That was not happening. We saw the CPD was out in force. We ended up actually walking to your neighborhood, grabbed dinner, and got on the train at Addison.
Eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's just when you do this parade, you just got to figure, this is what I'm going to be doing today.
Yeah,
this is what I'm going to be doing.
I think that that rain kind of made everything havoc because people were just like scattered and...
King John says, ladies, there was a group in the parade from Australia. I didn't see that. I'm 53 and took my 14-year-old daughter and two of her friends to the parade. We came from Kenosha and had a great time, says Dave. Thank you, Dave. And Sharon wanted to jump in. Hey, Sharon.
It's actually Karen.
Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
I would just like to clarify, you said the Lutheran Church was in the parade, and I would just like to clarify that there is one group, the ELCA, that has chosen not to follow what the Bible says. So they say that homosexuality is okay and pornography is okay, and as long as what you do makes you happy, then it's okay. So that was the group that was in
the not the mainstream Lutheran
that
church?
No, they should be changing their name, but yet they don't.
It
horrifies me only because there was just recently in the news about a pastor that decided that pornography is okay. And then everybody looks to me and says, well, Karen, you're Lutheran. And I say,
what's up with that? But aren't the Lutherans more liberal about the, like, we know where the Catholics are. Catholics do not believe in homosexuality. Or they believe it happens, but it's a sin. What's the Lutheran, what's the Lutheran doctrine on homosexuality?
It's the same thing. It's not doctrine. We go by what the Bible says, just like any other Christian religion.
I got to tell you, though, that's... that message did not come across at the parade. I mean, if that bothers you, that we got the impression, a million people in Chicago, that Lutherans are very tolerant of the gay lifestyle. If that bothers you, then you should be bothered, because that was the message. And they were from Naperville. They'd have signs, Naperville, Lakeview, the neighborhoods of Chicago and the suburbs of Chicago. It was
notice it was the only one. Was it only one church? It was only the Lutheran?
No. Well, they didn't say ELCA or anything like that. They simply all had signs from what I took to be their various parishes. And it was blocks of these people, so I don't know what to make of that. I appreciate your phone call, Sharon. Thank you for listening. All right, ladies, we're out of time. Any last observations about the 50th anniversary of the, Stonewall Inn riots and the parade that Chicago put on? I saw in some of the national coverage they had Chicago floats because some of them were just so terrific.
We actually sent some of our team members to New York. We have a sister team called Cheer New York, and we sent a couple of them to actually walk in the parade, and I was like, that is amazing to have that opportunity. And
Yeah. Ours was pretty good. You know, what an amazing opportunity for you. Jazz Cooper produces Bill and Wendy's show. She's also on the Chicago Cheer team, and they do events. If you want to reach them to be with you, how do they do that, Jazz?
ChicagoSpiritBrigade.org.
And I'm just proud to, you know, stand up for this community.
Yeah, well.
Reformed theater major and, you know.
312 just texted in, the ELCA church is very tolerant. That lady is goofy. John, I'm in the ELCA, and it's the biggest mainstream Lutheran denomination in the United States, blah, blah, blah. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. It was a terrific parade, and it was sure nice to see you ladies there and to all of the folks that were there as well. All I want is 24 hours, Steve. That's all I want, 24
hours. Without rain?
And yes, or hail. Do you see that in Mexico?
Yeah. I have seen it. I haven't wrapped my brain around it yet.
I can't believe it. I'm like,
is the hail floating there on some of those scenes?
I don't know what it was, because there are scenes in Mexico. It's not Mexico City. It's a Guadalajara. It's one of the major big cities in Mexico. And they had a hailstorm so severe that it looks like snow up to your waist, but it's just a collection of ice. The temperature is 70 degrees. They had a hailstorm. Is it Guadalajara, Elif? Thank you. Guadalajara. And they Google it. It's because what I saw on Fox News, the story looks legit, right? And I'm sure it didn't cover all of the city, but wherever the heck it happened, they had cars that were up to the hood.
Up and over the hood, yeah.
Yeah, just plowing through ice.
I don't understand it.
I mean, bam, 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 bam. But think about how much you have to get 3 feet of ice pellets, and then you talk about the Armageddon. I mean, if frogs fell from the sky, you'd be more comfortable than that. It was just the bizarrest of things.
It looks like snow.
It does, but snow would almost be more difficult to get through. I don't know. Ice has got to be heavier. It's just very weird. And you're right, Steve. They get through it so fluidly that you think maybe that's there was some flooding, there's water. I don't know what it was, but it's a very, very weird thing. By the way, just before the news, we were commenting about the Pride Parade this weekend. I mentioned that the largest contingent I would say I saw was of the Lutheran churches throughout the Chicagoland area.
I knew you just couldn't have a feel-good segment there.
A woman called in to, to yuck my yum,
it's
and
so
she
close.
Said that, no, that's not how the Lutherans believe. That's some renegade organization masquerading as the Lutherans or something. I don't know. She said, that's not us. Dave says he's a pastor with the Lutheran Church, so maybe he'll shed some light on this. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you today? Glad you went to the parade.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me try to not get you into the theological weeds, but try to say that there are branches of Lutheranism, and that clearly the wonderful woman who called was a member of a far more conservative branch than I am a pastor in.
I see.
So the ELCA welcomes everybody.
But isn't that the major governing body of the Lutheran Church?
Well, there are the two branches, really, and the ELCA is the largest, and then there's an offshoot, and they wouldn't say they were an offshoot. They would say they were the true Lutherans. But it's the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is a smaller branch, and they kind of take the Bible literally word for word. And so they take those passages about homosexuality and the like more literally.
So does the ELCA branch of the Lutheran Church embrace the LGBTQ community? Do they believe that homosexuality is a sin?
No.
And are they, if you said Lutherans, I've painted them with the same broad brush I do Catholics and Baptists, you know, although I guess that's not even accurate, but I can't, you can't speak broadly about the Lutherans and their beliefs because of these two branches or so?
Right. That would probably be the general mistake that happened.
Yeah.
There is that the misunderstanding is she thought she was talking about her church, which is a much more conservative branch than our church is, but we're all trace our roots back to Martin Luther in the 16th century.
Well, but she said, you know, that's not our beliefs. That's what it says in the Bible, she said, and I'm not going to quibble with any of that. You all get to believe whatever you want to believe. But I just,
right.
my general impression has been that Lutherans are pretty liberal about this. For instance, Lutheran pastors can marry, right?
Correct.
And can a woman be a pastor in the Lutheran church?
In the ELCA, but not in the branch in which she's from.
Understood. And then Lutherans also don't believe homosexuality is a sin, her branch notwithstanding.
Correct.
Yeah. So that to me is a more liberal church than the Catholic Church I was raised in or the branch of Lutheranism that she practices. And not that this matters, but my last question for you, Dave, I really appreciate you calling in, is, but just for my own information, which branch has the more people? The ELC. Which one has the more people? Yours or the other one?
It's like crowd size in politics.
I know. This is terrible, but just entertain me here. Which one has more people?
I think that we're about 3.5 million in America, and they're about 2.8.
Okay, so comparable. And really, if your church had one person, but it was your belief, then that's your belief. I'm not denigrating it. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land, because my view was Lutherans were liberal about these sorts of things, and I think you've supported that for me, and I appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for taking it, and appreciate your program. You are the best questioner on the radio.
Well, let's make more time for Dave. He's our guest. Thank you, Dave.
You can send me the $20. Give me your producer, and you'll be more than I'll put it in the collection plate next Sunday.
Drive safely, sir.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Right, bye now. Okay, well, that helps a little bit. Speaking of driving safely, producer Griffin, two Saturdays ago, gave me a hard time because we were in Geneva. And two Saturdays ago, our Hometown Voices tour stopped, Steve. I don't know. Maybe Lauren Lapka knows a little bit about this, too. I saw a story on WGN-TV, and it's how they're going to crack down on people who text and drive. And the law in Illinois now is you can't...
No, exactly.
Not only can you not do that, but the penalties are going to be more severe if they catch you.
Well, yeah, it'll be a moving violation. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no warnings.
And three of them, and they'll take away your license, maybe, which is fine. But they had this program... troopers in trucks, trooper in a truck, and what they do. Steve, I'm looking at the video of the 3 feet of ice and a semi.
I wonder you distracted somehow.
Oh my gosh, it's the damn craziest thing. Whatever happened there in Mexico?
I just saw a half a second of it. It was like flowing though.
Yeah,
it's not flowing everywhere like
it
that.
It looks like they're driving through a river, and
right.
There's maybe 10 inches of ice on top.
But there are other places where it is pretty solid up to the car hood.
Getting back to Illinois. So they have troopers in trucks. Like if you're texting while driving or thinking about it and you see a cop car, you don't do it. In Chicago, you can't even talk on your phone unless it's a hands-free device. So you put the phone down by your lap. So what they're going to do to catch you is they've got troopers in semi-tractor trailers, and they look like just a regular truck hauling stuff. But it's a trooper on the passenger side, and he's got some binoculars, and he's looking down. And if he sees... Think of the things they'll see. But if they see you texting, then they radio ahead, one Adam 12, and then Adam 12 up ahead knows that license plate 12345 is coming up and give him a ticket, which is kind of sneaky, kind of tricky, but I think I'm okay with it. I'm not 100% sure I am, but I think I'm okay with that.
It's just weird to me. I know that it's a problem, and I mean, it certainly is a problem, but... I have a hard time of where you draw the line. Like, I have a navigation system on my car, you know, a touch screen. And so when I want to check the travel time or something, I'll type in Chicago, you know, WGN radio or whatever. And I'm doing the same thing I would be doing on my phone. but it's legal to do it if it's on my car touchscreen.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me why you would penalize someone for doing the same thing on their phone. But they're not going to make the touchscreens illegal.
No. No, they're not.
Changing the radio, which no one should ever do. But, you know, you're reaching over, hitting the touchscreen, looking at the screen, and moving things.
It says here, Steve, Illinois drivers that are caught even holding an electronic device while behind the wheel will be issued a moving violation. If you're listening to Spotify or listening to WGN Radio through your phone app and you're driving down the road, and if that thing's in your hand, you're in violation, even right. if you're not texting.
But you can change your radio on your in your car.
I guess so, but not that that's necessarily safer now. You're looking
well,
down,
that's,
dialing
that's my
around.
Point. And yeah. so, or navigation system.
The maps, I'm going to drive into a tree looking at my maps.
But you can have a navigation system on your car screen.
Yeah.
That's well, okay for you to look at, but you can't look at the one on your phone.
That's what I'm talking about. I do all the time, and Brenda's like, the road's over here. But I'm looking at the map on my dashboard that's built in, which is legal, but not necessarily any safer.
Right. So I understand how the distract. I want them to crack down on it. I understand it's leading to more accidents and everything, but I just don't know how they draw the line.
Robert, you're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a truck driver myself. I've been driving 22 years, and I've seen the craziest things driving trucks. I would always thought that that would come to play and seeing troopers in trucks because you're so high up, and people would, the last thing they would expect is to a truck, you know, be a cop or some sort. But I've seen people do laptop work, reading newspapers. I've seen people reading a book. I see people just doing the craziest thing as they're driving, doing 70 miles an hour. I mean, they'll blow right by me as I just saw, you know, I look down and there they are, you know, typing away on their laptop or reading a newspaper. And it's the craziest thing. But what I think is, the most dangerous thing overall is how are they not curbing the idea of people driving around with dogs on their laps?
Is that against the law?
I don't know. And I think that is far more dangerous because I see a lot of that where people are just driving around with a dog on their lap. And yeah. some of these dogs, they're the size of a 1 and 2 year old.
Yeah, right. So
that actually came up over the weekend. I was with some friends, and they talked about that, how you can't hold your cell phone, but you can have your dog in your lap.
Well, I mean, what's the harm in that? Well, but I mean,
what's the harm in that?
Right. What's the harm in that?
Well, it's an obstacle in your driving sort of zone.
Oh, I guess so. I was
well, I think to me, it's a live creature that at any given moment, that dog can lose it and just jump and get startled over somebody beeping their horn or something erratic where, you know, how do you steer away when you got this, you know, 10-pound, 20-pound dog on your lap?
Yeah, no, you know what I was thinking, guys, was that if there was an accident, the dog would be injured, but I also think the dog might act as a safety cushion for you and help you survive, but the dog wouldn't, which is a terrible thing, but I mean, but right, if the dog distracts you, then that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it just, I think that's far more of an issue also
than what I'm thinking of, yeah.
You know, put a kid in your life. I don't think it's I don't think it's safe at all. That's one of the biggest things that I see a lot of. But people are crazy what they do when they drive 70 miles an hour.
Man.
No problem.
Call anytime, Robert. It's good to hear your voice today.
Thank you.
Have a good day. What are you thinking, Olive?
I just a reflection on earlier when Steve was saying that you shouldn't look at your phone even if it's a GPS, or you were saying that. And it made me think of when my Uber driver was just staring at the directions on his phone and I didn't know. I thought he was texting someone. And I said, can you look at the road, please, sir? And he went, I'm looking at where I'm going to take you. And I felt really bad afterwards, but now I'm thinking maybe that's a reflection
right.
on
me. I don't care what you're looking at. I want you looking out the windshield. You know, I don't care if you're looking at phone calls, text messages,
yeah,
or a map.
It's a whole billion-dollar industry built on strangers using GPS to take you places.
Yeah.
They have to use GPS to get you there. You know, these aren't cab companies that they've memorized the streets.
Yeah.
It's based on them looking at a device in your car.
I also think he was partly lying.
Also, I just admire your... You have an amazing ability to cut through, Elif.
What do you mean by that?
Back me up on this, Steve Bertrand. Elif will say things to people sometimes that just are a little jaw-dropping to me.
What?
And it's not a bad thing. It's a trait I think more of us should have. Well, for instance, if you feel like your life is being imperiled by the driver not operating the vehicle safely, of course you should speak up. But I'm mousy enough that when that happens, I just go, well, I'm sure we'll live. And if we don't, then we don't.
Yeah,
that's
right,
me. Cause trouble.
I know. I don't want to cause trouble. This will be so awkward if I tell him to please watch where we're going. But Elif just goes, hello, could you look out the... You know where you also see that kind of behavior, Elif? Tell me if you do this.
Hmm.
When you're trying to get on to an L car.
Yeah.
And it's all crowded around the entryway, but there's room more in the center, but people haven't migrated there. And some people will just kind of stick their shoulders in and go, hey, guys, I need you all to move down. And people are like very busy looking at their phones or feet. They're not connecting. And
they can't hear sometimes, you know, too.
Okay, but this person goes, hey, could you move down? And they make a big announcement. And this is like just a guy who just got on the train or a woman. And they go, I need you to move in because we're trying to get on here. And most of us in that situation just go, well, we're not going to get on and we'll wait for the next train. Are you the person that tells people to squish over and so I can get on?
No, I don't.
You haven't done that yet?
I just kind of push past them because they know they should be moving.
The fine now is higher, and you get a moving violation for texting while driving. And if you get three, you could lose your license. In this program, Troopers in a Truck, they've been doing it for a while on I-55, I-70, I-80, I-57, catching drivers doing things they shouldn't behind the wheel. It says here in a story from WGN-TV last weekend, the goal is in fact handing out more citations. It's 151 on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Yeah, don't keep score. We're just doing the best we can. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio overlooking a beautiful downtown Chicago. I can see the lake. I can see blue skies. I can see some pretty little thin white clouds, which means it's probably going to snow or rain. And that's part of the forecast, evidently, for the rest of our lives. We're wrapping up our conversation about texting and driving and the laws that are different in Illinois starting today. And by the way, Steve, a texter from 847 says one of Steve's old Marquette buddies, Dave Cleary, got the first ticket for driving distracted on a cell phone in the late 1980s driving through Ohio.
Dave Cleary, the pride of El Paso, Illinois, maybe?
I don't know these people, but it says got the first ticket for distracted driving. Congratulations, Dave.
He's known for so many things.
He's a buddy of yours, huh?
Good guy? We went to school together, yeah, great guy.
John, texting and driving has become an epidemic and needs to stop no matter what the extent is. And Steve can use his GPS in his car as long as it's mounted in the car. 847 says, John, you're the best. But 815 disagrees. You should quit while you're ahead. You lose all credibility when you claim, me, John Williams, that talking to a passenger is different than talking hands-free. If it's different, then it's different in a bed, blah, blah, blah. Listen, here's the deal. If you talk to a person on the phone, hands-free or otherwise, your brain is not in the here and now, it's in the over there. That's just a fact. I read it in a thing that I don't remember.
Well, I can see that.
That's my source. My source is I read it once.
The engagement's very different because you say it on the phone, then you wonder if they heard it, and then you're waiting to hear back.
And it's,
whereas if there's someone in the car, it's
you don't, and
more
I know,
casual.
And this person says, but you turn and look to that person when they're in the car. I know you do, but I'm sorry. It's just a different experience, and I think I'm more distracted, hands-free or otherwise, when I'm talking on the phone to my dad.
Look, you're a distracted driver when you turn the car on.
I shouldn't be on our nation's highways. I mean, you've already got a problem.
Can we just say that I asked you to come in early for Crosstalk today, right? At the end of my show?
You said come in a little. Well,
Bennett came in and
said that you're going to be wrapping up a little early.
Right. And so I look up and here you're sitting there 12 minutes before the show ends.
Which,
I said, John, what are you doing?
By some books, is a little early. So then I went back to my office and forgot that Bennett said to come in early. You should have taken me while you had me.
Again, you got it, and you have a license.
And I vote in elections.
Right.
Now, there's the story in Alabama, and this one is just sad and tragic. You've probably been following it a little bit, but you still can't believe it's real. A woman whose unborn baby was killed in a 2018 Pleasant Grove shooting, I'm reading from AI.com, has now been identified. Marche Jones, 27, Birmingham, was indicted by a Jefferson County grand jury on manslaughter charges. She was taken into custody, though she, Jones, did not fire the shots that killed her unborn baby. Authorities say she initiated a dispute that led to the gunfire. Police initially charged 23-year-old Ebony Jemison with manslaughter, but the charge against Jemison was dismissed after the grand jury failed to indict her. Pregnant woman and another lady get into an argument. The other lady gets out a gun and shoots the pregnant woman in the abdomen. The woman with the gun walks away. The pregnant lady is charged with manslaughter for endangering her unborn child. That's how I read it. Dana Hall McCain is on a phone line. Dana, it's John Williams. You're back on WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. How are you today?
Excellent. You and I have talked before. You're a great resource down there for news and commentary, and that's how we used you in the past. But since this is in your state, I was just wondering if you were closer to it and could explain this to me.
Well, there is a lot that we still don't know about this case, but I can give maybe your listeners a little bit more context about Alabama law and how the grand jury arrived at this decision, as best we can tell. Alabama law attributes personhood to any human being, including unborn children in utero at any stage of development, regardless of viability.
Stop right there. So right after conception.
That's right.
Okay, keep going.
That's right. So if I am 6 weeks pregnant and I'm driving down the highway and a drunk driver hits me and kills me, that's homicide times two.
Homicide. Okay.
Yes, yes. And criminal homicide, you know, has several different, it's a spectrum. You've got murder, you've got manslaughter, you've got criminally negligent homicide. But, you know, the standard for homicide is when a person commits criminal homicide, if they intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, or with criminal negligence cause the death of another person. And so what we saw in this case with Marsha Jones were police officers in the initial days after the incident saying to journalists in Alabama that Ms. Jones, the pregnant woman, was the one who initiated the physical confrontation and pressed it, and that Ms. Jemison was pinned, I think, in her vehicle and was scared, was, in the words of one law enforcement officer, losing the fight. She was being beaten, I think, somewhat aggressively, and she did finally pull a firearm and discharge that firearm. So now, there's some...
So is that seen as almost akin to the Castle Doctrine? Is that regarded as a legitimate defense for her own safety then?
I think that is exactly how the grand jury viewed it. I think they must have based on the testimony of those officers, and perhaps Ms. Jemison herself believed her claim of self-defense and why she discharged the firearm.
Okay.
Now, a couple of interesting things have come out just in the last couple of days with regard to this case and those grand jury proceedings. Now, we know that grand jury proceedings are secret, and so you don't know exactly what went on there. But I did see one report today that indicated that Ms. Jones, the one who was ultimately charged with manslaughter, was not called to testify before that grand jury. So we don't know for sure that they heard all sides of the story about the conflict. Certainly the testimony of the officers that we've seen in press accounts would indicate that Ms. Jemison was legitimately acting in self-defense. But I guess to the credit of Ms. Jones and her legal counsel, I guess an argument could be made that those grand jury proceedings were somewhat flawed and that she was not called to testify there.
So the grand jury hasn't heard her side of the story. I guess the point of a grand jury, though, is just to see if there's sufficient evidence to go forward with a criminal case. So maybe a jury would sort this out, but you think the grand jury could stop the proceeding without having to go that far if they had at least heard from her? That's odd.
Possibly. And, of course, now it has moved on. Now that the district attorney in that part of Jefferson County has the indictment, she has prosecutorial discretion. She can choose to prosecute the case. She can decline to prosecute, or she can choose to prosecute for a lesser charge if she thinks a charge of manslaughter is too much, given the facts of the case, once she has reviewed it herself. So we still don't know that Marche Jones will be prosecuted under this indictment. It will really all depend on the opinion of this particular district attorney.
The baby was lost. How's Marche Jones doing, the woman that was shot?
I think she is in fine health today. She is the mother of another child, a six-year-old little girl, and I've seen nothing indicating that she has any residual health issues as a result of the shooting.
Right. I got to tell you, the more you talk, the more sense this crazy case makes, right? For instance,
yeah.
If you think, why wasn't the woman that pulled the trigger prosecuted, but she's trapped in her car, she's getting the snot beat out of her, she fears for her health. I think she, you know, maybe hit a 5-pound penny with a 10-pound hammer, but you have the right to defend mm-hmm. yourself with a gun. So that explains that. And then why, you know, you shouldn't be picking a fight with somebody if you're 5 months pregnant, knowing that that might harm the child. But it's amazing to me that the conversation there isn't regarding her as a victim, though. She is pregnant and was shot in the abdomen, and she's charged with manslaughter.
The conversation here very much is hinging on that. There is a lot of pushback from women's rights advocates, both within our state and outside our state, who just see this as a complete miscarriage of justice for her to be eligible to be charged for anything when her child was the one who died. I view that somewhat differently, though, because let's go back to the drunk driving episode. If I, as a pregnant woman, got inebriated and got behind the wheel of a car and had an accident that was ultimately fatal to my child in utero from the impact, that is recklessly, knowingly, and intentionally endangering the life of my child. And if that is the standard for criminal homicide in this state, I don't understand why mothers are any less criminally liable than any other person for the harm that might ultimately come to the unborn child.
I guess all of this is a logical extension of, if you believe at conception, that is a being with the same rights as the mother or the father of that child, and your state clearly does. This Illinois mm-hmm. is quite the opposite of that, and maybe that's my problem. I'm not there. I don't think that way, and my community, the people in Illinois and Chicago, don't generally think that way. But if you do, then this crazy case makes perfect sense then, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I'm confident in saying that the great majority of Alabamians do believe that that unborn children are people and should receive some protection under the law. And I think certainly if you extended this out, let's say, you know, this had happened to a woman who was 7 or 8 months pregnant and the child is fully viable, and through someone else's negligence, her child dies, or through her own recklessness or negligence, her child dies. And we all know that had she gone into premature labor that very day and had the child, would have probably been healthy and survived and fine. That kind of, I think most people can get on board there with saying, well, to be reckless and endanger that child is just unconscionable. That's not right. That's not who we want to be as a society. But it does become a little more of a hill to climb philosophically with people as you go further backward in the pregnancy and get back behind the date of viability.
Right, or if you imagine that the person that you're charging is the mother, it just, you know, my first clever thought about this was you're treating that lady, that person, like some sort of incubator that the state runs and not treating her as a victim. If, for instance, somebody shoots and somebody and the woman's pregnant and the child dies, I think we all are angry at the shooter, right? If it was a random shooting or just a burglary gone bad or something like that, we appreciate the double tragedy that that would represent wherever that child is in its development. But when it's the mm-hmm. mother that you're talking about, it's just a little harder to comprehend. For instance, answer this. What is your state's view on fetal alcohol syndrome? If a child is born with that, do you prosecute the mother?
We do have a chemical endangerment statute that really was passed as a response to the epidemic of methamphetamine use in the state of Alabama. We were seeing so many children who were dangerously and criminally exposed to harm in meth labs, in homes, and also in utero from women who were using and were suffering real disability and horrible physical consequences as a result of that. Yeah. So, yeah, there is a standard there. There is a precedent there for seeking criminal prosecution of women and men who knowingly chemically endanger children, both in utero and fully born.
Okay, the story's not over yet because they haven't decided how they're going to prosecute it, but it has gone through the grand jury to the prosecutor, and now that person's going to make a decision. Dana Hall McCain. Are you at AI.com? Is that where we read you, Dana?
It's AL.com, and yes, that's right.
AL.com, as in Alabama. What a coincidence. AL.com.
There you go.
continued success to you down there. You're always a very helpful commentator to us up here. I'm going to call you again, Dana.
Sounds great. Thank you, John.
They had a mistake at the White Sox game the other day. I was at the game on Saturday. Lapka, did you go to the White Sox game on Saturday? It was maybe the best day of the year to go to a baseball game.
I was in
game.
New Buffalo, actually.
Michigan. What were you doing in New Buffalo, Michigan?
My family has a place up there, my extended family.
That's fun. I like New Buffalo.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Did you go to the lake?
No, we have a pool up there, so we get to avoid the choppy cold waters.
I was just going to say, I mean, the water's still cold everywhere. Wow.
Freezing, yeah.
Where'd you go for lunch?
We actually tried out this new place. I believe it was Flying Pig, something like that. But it's really cool because the back is like a big sand pit with swings and bags and all kinds of games for people to play, an area for kids. Just a good hangout place.
What's the matter, Bertrand?
Where did that question come from?
Where'd you go for lunch?
When you're talking to Lauren about her weekend and the pool, and then you're like, where did you go for lunch?
Well, because I go to New Buffalo quite a bit, and there's a lot of good places to eat in New Buffalo.
Okay.
A lot of new places, which is crazy. I haven't been to, I was talking about this with Jen DeSalvo. I haven't been to Redimax the past
That's
maybe
what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I haven't been there in so long because there's all these new places to try.
Redimax is the place that everybody says you got to go get a lunch at Redimax. And you should, but you don't have to go there a second time.
You know, there used to be one on Lincoln Avenue.
Seriously?
At Lincoln and Belden. I used to live right there. There was a Redimax for probably closed more than 20 years ago, but
if that's your it's a great summer place to go get a hamburger and, you know, have the kids, but I think I got that box checked, and it's swell. I don't want to say bad things about them, but if you wanted to have a nice lunch or dinner, there's other places to go besides the famous Redimax.
How about breakfast, Lauren? Where'd you go for breakfast?
I stayed home for that one.
Your Honor, I don't believe that question was so irrelevant that it needs to be stricken from the records.
No, it makes perfect sense now because you have lunch there, you were wondering. But
well, I'm so glad you're the relevance police. Thank you, Steve.
To start.
Really appreciate you checking in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the White Sox game, and they had something appear on the scoreboard. They said, we're now going to show you three it said three famous Chicagoans. And then one of them was Emmett Till, and they felt bad about that because the person that did it didn't take the time to think about the historical context. And so if Pat Sajak is from Chicago, who knew, saying, oh, yeah, and Emmett Till is too, you know, that's apples and pizzas. Those things are not in the same conversation. And the White Sox are embarrassed and feel bad about that. I don't know if anybody's going to lose their job, but somebody ought to be looking over the shoulder of the person that put stuff up there. And I Googled famous Chicagoans trying to find the list that would even include Emmett Till. Like, how did Emmett Till even come up, right? Like, he's a Chicagoan, but, he's this tragedy, and his name does not appear in celebrity lists. So I was trying to figure out how that person was even able to find it. I found an article, who are the 100 most famous Chicagoans? Whose name appears number one on the list? Anyone? Bueller?
Al Capone.
Capone is in the top 100, but most famous Chicagoans. This person's alive.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's number four on the list.
Obama.
Obama when this list came out, he wasn't Obama yet. This is 2006, so he would have been a state lawmaker at the time or something. He would have been in Kenya, I think. He was with his family. number one is Oprah.
Yeah.
Number two, Kanye. Number three, this shows you how dated this thing, 2006. The third most famous person from Chicago is R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Okay, but you know how you know you're really famous or important is if I just gave you one name and you would know who it is. If I said Oprah, you'd know. If I said Kanye. If I said R, I'm not sure if you'd think Kelly, but maybe you would. If I say Michael, you say Jordan.
Avenetti.
Well, get a load of this, Steve. Number five on the list in 2006, and it's a list with R. Kelly and Michael Jordan. Number five on the list is Dennis, and it's not Rodman. Who is it?
DeYoung?
Nope. That's a good guess.
Dennis Lamp?
How about Denny?
Denny Hastert.
Denny Hastert. Number six is Common. Number seven is Roger... Ebert.
Wow. You're in the Wayback Machine.
Barack Obama was eight. Bill Murray was nine. Vince Vaughn, 10. John Cusack, Jerry Springer. Lupe Fiasco, Buddy Guy. The list goes on. Jesse Jackson, you're 16. Rod Blagojevich, you're 17. This is John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Bob Feeder, the media columnist in Chicago, has a story today. It says WLS Channel 7 is looking to stay on top of local news in Chicago by experimenting with new forms of animation, graphics, and data visualization in the way it tells stories. It'll be one of only two TV operations in the country to participate in a new cutting-edge video news research project led by Northeastern University in Boston. They're going to hire a visual content producer who will be employed by Channel 7 here in Chicago, and that person and maybe their team will use tools of animation, tools such as animation, motion graphics, and special effects to invigorate news stories. Remember when, what was the election? I don't think it was 2016, where they used the hologram on CNN.
Oh, yeah.
Wolf Blitzer appeared before them, even though he wasn't. And it was really cool because they could talk to him and interact with him, but he wasn't there. And it was utterly pointless, except that they could do it.
So I'm thinking of like a claymation, Lori Lightfoot, or things like that. Is that what they're going to do?
Well, there is something like that. And I'm not against new technology.
No, not at all.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. I mean, don't get me talking about weather. But I mean, you're absolutely right, Steve. If it furthers the telling of the story or helps me contextualize it, then that's good. Some sites do stuff like this already. They use animated versions of stories. Say there's a train collision and there's no video, or a celebrity saves a child in danger. They'll do these kind of fun cartoon, almost anime-like videos. And sometimes they come with a Siri-like audio track that tells the story. And it gives the impression that humans are completely out of the news loop here. You're watching a little cartoon of what happened, and it's, you know, that Alexa-like voice. And so you don't need Gail King or Robin Baumgarten or whoever your favorite newscaster is. You know, it's been handed over to the digital world. I mean, this has been in the back of my mind as a sort of fear of what would happen if the radio world embraced this. Because really, if we're going to use animated stories, we don't maybe need local newscasters. Obviously, somebody's got to write them, but it seems to me like it's making it less personal. So I don't love that. But we did imagine in the studio today or in the office what it would be like, because this wouldn't be that hard, right? If you want to do a local talk radio show and you could eliminate the local host, say me, if all you were interested in was the comment from the listeners, and then you could just program it to give the responses.
Hello. Welcome to the show. What would you like to talk about?
I want to talk about the World Cup and the U.S. women.
Sure. Please make your comment.
Well, England is saying we're spying on them in their hotel.
That's an interesting thing you've said. Tell me more.
Well, it's like scouting, right? Teams scout each other out all the time. And if our scouting includes getting information on an opponent by hanging around the hotel lobby, it's not like we're cheating.
Hmm. That's an interesting thing you've said. Please wrap up your comments at this time.
Well, I think it's just the USA team. They have a great attitude, and they're very entertaining.
Gosh, where has the time gone? Would you like a Lou Malnati's pizza?
Sure, but I'm just saying.
Please hold and talk to a producer. This has been very entertaining talk. Steve Bertrand will have some news next. Hey, do your knees hurt? How about getting your knees fixed?
I could go on like that. Lapka, say something on the radio.
Something on the radio. Traffic is bad.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, wait, no. Do it again. Just make a comment like you're a caller.
Oh, okay. I'm really sick of the weather in Chicago. When will it change? When will it ever change?
That's an interesting thing you've said. Tell me more.
I don't think there's anything else to say. The weather sucks.
Gosh, where has the time gone? Would you like a Lou Malnati's pizza?
I'd prefer, you know, a slab of ribs.
That's an interesting thing you've said. Please wrap up your comments at this time.
Yeah, I'm not getting the personable
it's not
nature.
The warm fuzzy that we come to know and expect.
Please make your comment.
Yeah, we already did. But you know, the other thing is, so Feeder's got this story about how they're going to try and find, if I was a local TV station, local news and national news, people don't watch news that way anymore. Do you watch the 5 o'clock network news on TV, Lauren? I'll bet you don't.
Well, I'm working generally, but I sometimes glance.
Yeah. I mean, it's not my habit, and I'm not usually working. I could watch the CBS Evening News or the ABC World News or whatever it is.
Well, the world is so depressing these days. I think most people don't even want to watch the news because the content is just frustrating.
But if they found a way, you know, that's another train, but you're absolutely right. That's the challenge for all of us, right? If you're writing a newspaper, talking on the radio, or doing local TV or national TV news.
Yeah, because you've got to deliver the news, but
it's just, I don't have to watch it. And if it's going to make me crazy, then maybe I won't do it. So then they say, okay, we'll tell a human interest story at the end of this news, and you'll be glad you tuned in. And that just seems so formulaic, too. That seems like fluff. Like, all right, that's just the icing on this lousy cake you just served me, So you're stuck in that.
It is, but what's funny is when I was anchoring TV news, every time I've met someone in public and we were talking about the news, they always told me the kicker is their favorite part.
I totally believe that.
Yeah, people love the crazy, weird, random stories or just the feel-goods because everything else is negative.
But you can, and so you say, well, let's do more of that, but that's not really news,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, then you're getting away from the original goal.
It's predictable, though. So when Feeder does the story about Channel 7 experimenting with at least more interesting graphics, like we'll do these animated versions of the thing if we don't have video. Because in the piece that he posted, they have this school from Boston's people describing this new way to do TV news. And if you go through black and white TV in the 60s to today, it's pretty much always been the same, with some exceptions. But it's, you know, a nice-looking person standing there, sitting there, reading you. Over their left-hand shoulder is a graphic, and it'll say police shooting. And then they go to the video of the police shooting, and then we come back to them, and it's the same visual experience. And things move so quickly now, they have not kept up in that arena. So they said, all right, let's try some other things. What kind of graphics or digital visualization can we use to do it? Here's the comments on the Feeder story. Yes, by all means. Let's make sure we emphasize form over substance. If we can attract enough viewers, we might not need any real content at all. The next person, well said, breaking news. The next person said, they can slick it up all they want. This won't make a blip of difference. The traditional newscast is losing audience, and animation, slick graphics, and packaging won't bring them back. Follow up a year from now. I'll bet I'm right. The next person said more celebrity news and animal stories and feel-good human interest tales and other types of Novocaine for the brain. The next person said, like the Saturday morning cartoons when we were kids. Yeah, that'll get them to watch. Edward R. Murrow and Cronkite are rolling in their graves. The next person said, all roads lead to Disney. Channel 7 is owned by Disney. More animations and TV news for the next generation of news viewers. How about solid news with video and sound? And make it in black and white, too. We don't need these fancy color pixels. Jeff said, can't wait to see Mickey Mouse incorporated into the footage of a local bank robbery. Why does the internet go there? Why is that so predictably the reaction you'll get? Channel 7's going to experiment to find ways to make the product more visually appealing. And all of these dinosaur riders don't want to at least let them try. It's 2:46 on WGN.
Please make your comment.
I already did. We went to the Music Box Theater over the weekend. We had a really busy weekend. What was the highlight of your weekend, Producer Elle? If you didn't go to Pride, what was the highlight of your three-day weekend?
My sister and brother-in-law came to town from L.A.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Spinning their tales of celebrity sightings and work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was the best one? Was there one that you just went, oh, my God, you did that?
No, we didn't really talk about it this time.
Yeah. Well, they're out there living the good life. We went to the White Sox game. We did Pride. We had friends in from out of town, and they were tourists for a weekend, so then we became tourists for the weekend, which is good, but it's exhausting. We went to the Music Box Theater and saw Do the Right Thing. I had never seen the Spike Lee film, and so we watched that on the big screen, and the more we talked about it afterwards, the more I liked it. It's kind of stagey. Do you remember Do the Right Thing? And it's interesting, too, because that movie is about 30 years ago, so everybody's, of course, older now. And it's just interesting to see some of those actors in that film who were young and up and coming, and you can just see their careers in front of them. And then some not so much, but it's kind of stagey. It's sort of set like a play in some acts and scenes. Visually very appealing. My son was telling me that he feels like this movie should have been the best picture that year for the Oscars. So I was watching it thinking it was going to be different, more accessible maybe is the word I'm thinking of. I didn't expect it to sort of be blocky like a play, but it was. But then once I sort of accepted that, got my head around that, and we talked about it afterwards, I thought, yeah, he really was doing a lot of interesting visual things and thematic things. Do the Right Thing. And some famous lines in that movie, too. So we did brunch in the morning. We did the Pride Parade.
Wait, where was brunch?
At my place.
What was for brunch?
Oh, yeah. Good food. I went over to Ann Sather's, got some cinnamon rolls.
Ooh.
We had fresh fruit. Then Brenda made some baked egg, sausage, vegetable things. Then we had a chicken salad. We had a spread. We had mimosas. It was a beautiful thing.
That's amazing.
And then we went to Pride. Then after Pride, we thought, now we're going to go to the movie. It was raining. We got out the umbrellas, walked over to the theater and back. We were exhausted by the end of that day. But it was a good day. I hope you had a nice time at Pride. Maybe the news click at WGNradio.com. There's a lot of things we could talk about. We could ask you, what did you think of Donald Trump setting foot on North Korean soil? He made this sort of dramatic cross into the DMZ and into North Korea land over the weekend. I have no problem with that. You know, politically, maybe that'll be problematic for him here or internationally, or maybe that more empowers Kim Jong-un and we didn't get anything in exchange for it. I understand all of the optics that are troubling to people, but and if you want to remind me that if Hillary or Barack did that, that Sean Hannity's head would be exploding right now. Oh, my God, this is treason and so on and so forth. But I just see any extension of international relations that isn't saber rattling is a good thing. So maybe this is more feathers in his cap than Kim Jong-un deserves or that we should give him. But by and large, I think we can all applaud that more than things that you think might lead us to the brink of war. I don't have any problem with that. And then Ivanka was in tow, and Donald Jr. said some weird things over the weekend. So, you know, Trump land is having a lot of fun with those stories. We could ask you something about that. But maybe the news click. I was just looking at another story it was that call that Producer Elif took in that sort of version of what talk radio would be like if we didn't have local live hosts. And that is the young man that called in and said that he wanted to talk about the United States Women's World Cup soccer team spying on England. They sent some scouts to hang around the hotel lobby where England is staying to see if they could get any scuttlebutt on the team. And the British coach said he didn't think that that was very polite. That's not good etiquette. And the caller said he thought that that was fine. What's the problem with that? It's just like scouting another team, which I don't think is wrong either. The U.S. women, I think, play tomorrow. When you feel better, when you don't have nagging knee pain, you look and act happier, don't you? Literally, if you don't have that pain on your mind or in your knee or shoulder or elbow, wherever it is, you're just a better version of yourself. Summer's here, and I want you to enjoy every minute of it. Here's what you should do first. Go to the Joint Relief Institute. The Joint Relief Institute has two locations. They're in Orland Park. They're in Oak Brook. The phone number is the same for either one, 708-888-0000, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. And what they do is they use digital imaging. They'll see where that joint's compromised. They put a joint lubricant there, and it works. They've got an insurance specialist to make sure you get the maximum coverage, too. So, what are you going to do this summer? And let's do it as vigorously as you can. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. The news click at WGNradio.com over the weekend, the Pride Parade, we asked you to comment this way. A, it's a great thing about our city. I just love it. 52%. It's a nice thing, but it's not for me. 25%. I'm getting tired of all this pride stuff, 23%. Those numbers were different at the beginning of the weekend. It was like 75, 15, 10. Now it's kind of more evened out, maybe as we're all done with pride and ready to move on with the rest of our summer. Okay, that wraps it up. Are they preset over there in Studio A, Ms. Garris? Yeah, but they're not preset, so I can't talk to Ro yet.
I'm here.
Hey, Rokan, how are you?
I felt bad for a moment, like I'd done something bad. No, we're preset. We're ready to talk.
Talk to me, Rokan.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I think there's always going to be a percentage of people that are just sick and tired. They are sick and tired of everything. Not sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's a different thing. This is just, these are people that just, they do not wish to have anything questioned, right? So it's where the pride thing comes in. It's like, I'm sick and tired of these people and that, you know, and all their pride. Well, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's an interesting expression because it's very festive, but it's really, if you've been to the, I mean, you've been to the parade, right? A number of times.
I was there yesterday. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. In fact, if you think, I'm tired of all this chatter about it and you've never been, you get to be tired about it, but you should go, because it works on me every time. Lou, like Ro, I didn't think I wanted to go this year. I went. It is so much fun.
Yeah,
it is so much camaraderie.
It is, and it is funny because it is not. It's really not about, you know, like the, and you know, we've been doing this a long time. So the St. Patrick's Day Parade, ton of fun. Both of them, the one downtown and the one, you know, the Southside Irish Parade, yeah. Great, right? They're fun. There is something that first of all, there's no more thick a parade in terms of humans, right, than this.
Pride, yeah, absolutely.
The way that it's set up. I mean, I don't care what they claim, even for the air show. I don't care what they claim. There's more people in that parade rather than there's any other event in the city.
I think you're right. That is because when you do the city, this is the hardest one to get around.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well run a marathon while you're at it, because it is just a long, dense line of people.